Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hello, hello, beautiful soul. How are you doing today? I have another interview in our Ask the Author series. This time it is for the book, Holistic Healing. So, have you ever heard of somebody having what we call a spontaneous remission, where they have some sort of an illness or seemingly uncurable disease, like a cancer, that through mysterious ways just vanishes? Well, there's a little bit of science behind that. Hear me out. It's been proven that different types of prayer and meditation have allowed people to literally dissolve tumors in their body. Now, as a medical doctor, I was first very, very skeptical of this idea because, of course, I never heard of it in medical school. But as we started to look at these organizations and medical institutions that kept track of illnesses that just spontaneously disappeared or went into remission, there were certain common traits that the individuals had. For many of them, they had some sort of awakening where they realized that there was more to life than just, you know, death and taxes. They also had some sort of a personal revelation about what their life really was all about, how they might have been living a little bit wrong. But each of them found some new meaning and purpose in life, and somehow that sparked these remissions. Well, in our newest book, Holistic Healing, a friend, now colleague, Judith Pennington, no relation that we know of yet, she details how she experienced a miraculous healing event when she connected to this divine light. What's interesting is that since her early 20s, Judith has been on this path of kind of connecting and reconnecting to deeper, higher states of consciousness. And now she's training people around the world, myself included, in the use of EEG neurofeedback, that is brainwave mapping and training to access higher states of consciousness. So I'm really excited to share this interview with you so that you can understand why I was convinced that I needed to map my brainwaves so that I could learn these meditative techniques to not only heal myself, but to be in a more creative and empowered state. So tune in as we have this conversation with Judith Pennington about the healing power of the soul. Judith Pennington, thank you so much for contributing your story to our new book, Holistic Healing.
My great pleasure. I appreciated the opportunity.
Well, your story is a fascinating one. And as you know, I've become a huge fan over the last couple of years, reading your work and then being able to train with you in the United States. But for people who are just meeting you for the first time, I'd love it if you can take us back a little bit in your journey. Of course, we know now that you are world-renowned and gaining in notoriety as an EEG neurofeedback trainer, helping, you know, so many of us really master this awakened mind brainwave pattern and beyond. But I'd love to just sort of explore your own healing journey because it really informs how you've gotten to where you are today. So take me back to that fateful day you were driving in the car and you had this magical connection. I'll let you tell it.
Thank you. That was easily the most pivotal and profound thing that's ever happened in my life. I was 22, maybe 24 years old, had a 2-year-old daughter and worked as a secretary for some lawyers, and I began to have really sharp and agonizing pains in my lower abdomen, and went to see a doctor, and on a Friday, and the doctor said, come back on Monday, I'm going to give you these pills to take. And over the course of the weekend, I didn't really think anything of it. He gave me no real information. And so on Monday at my lunch hour, which I thought was really odd, I realized that it was also the doctor's lunch hour that he had fit me in. It suddenly struck me that something serious could be wrong. And I didn't believe in any kind of God or higher power at the time. But there was some childhood-inspired Catholic lingering concept that there might be. I just sent up a prayer and said, please don't let anything happen to me. I'm the only one who can take care of. And before the words, my daughter, even fully crossed my mind, this cold chill swept up my body and then blasted, absolutely exploded into these warm waves of light that it felt like every cell in my body was awakening to this light. But it wasn't just light, it was love. And the only thing I can remember is just going, oh, what is this? What is this? And it just continued on and on. Of course, I'm driving my car on the interstate and didn't even care. I could only be present to this bliss that was this ecstasy that my mind and my body had completely that overtaken me. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror and seeing tears rolling down my face. And I remember looking at my arm to see if the light that I felt exploding inside me was actually visible. And it wasn't. And I felt myself move backwards somehow and saw myself driving. And it just went on and on. And then this amazing concepts began to flow into my mind, such as there is no death, you're not alone, you've never been alone, that there's only love, and then when we die, this is what it feels like, this explosion of ecstasy and this explosion of light. And I don't even remember what else happened or whatever else I felt, but somehow that drive from my job in downtown Baton Rouge to my apartment where I had to do some preparations for the exam, in actuality, it took 20 minutes, but I was lost in this eternity of bliss and don't still know who was driving the car. And I went and did my preparations, and then I went to the doctor's office and he examined me and said, well, there was a tumor on your left ovary, and it's gone now, and I guess the medications that I gave you on Friday took care of it. And I thought, oh, no. It was definitely not your medications, because I'd had the pain right before I got into the car. I mean, it was still present. And I knew with every ounce of intelligence and love in my body by then that it was that experience that had caused this incredible healing. And, you know, I didn't know what to do with it. I told my mother-in-law, who was a charismatic Christian, and she said, oh, you've been healed by the light and by God. And I thought, well, something healed me. I don't know what it was. And it left this concept in my mind. Did this healing happen inside of me or outside of me? Because at that time, I was all either ors and never ands, you know. And that just unconsciously set me on a course for the rest of my life and to try to understand what had happened. And it turned out to be the most exciting adventure in consciousness, you know.
Yes, I do know. And so the growth or tumor, whatever it was on your ovary, did it ever come back?
No,
No.
it was gone.
That is just fabulous. I love these stories of spontaneous remissions, especially when there is some sort of mystical or spiritual experience, because everyone kind of comes back with this sense of, wow, like you said, I'm not alone, and there's so much more to life than what I was programmed to believe. And so, did that open up the door again for you to maybe not religion, but at least to there being something, a god or whatever you want to call it?
I was not ready to believe that because at the time I didn't believe in God anymore, even though I had actually taken myself to a Catholic church when I was a child. I would just walk 2 miles to the church and I loved the church. I got the same wonderful feeling that I had when I was fishing on the bayou or sitting alone where I just felt really whole and connected to myself. But I had left all vestiges of religion in college when I learned that, well, Christmas was made up as and adopted as the Dionysian from the Dionysian religion, the god of wine of all things, and Easter was also a pagan holiday. So I went. They lied to me. They just absolutely lied to me. It was all a big lie. And so I didn't believe in God, and I was angry with Jesus because I thought, he failed because look at what's happening in this world and how Christianity has destroyed so many cultures and foisted guilt and blame and shame on people. And there's nothing but separation, and the whole thing is just wrong. So I couldn't go there. The only thing I could do was just wonder. Every now and then, over the next, I don't know, 15 years. And at that, but there was always this unconscious desire in me to try to understand what that was. And I think on an unconscious level, that synchronicities began to arrange themselves in my life so that by the time I was a freelance writer at, I don't know, about age 35, these story assignments began to crop up, and they all took me back to that place of peace that I had enjoyed as a child. And these were stories on everything from isolation tanks, they call them flotation tanks now, to even a crazy audiovisual headset where the guy turned a knob and I suddenly flipped forward thousands of years into the future, and then he turned the knob the other way, and then I went into this ocean wave of peace, and I interviewed a psychics. All of these were story assignments, and a tarot readers, and gradually the proof of it that I continually encountered that there was something more than that there was some sort of. And then these things were not just writing stories. Most of the time, I had to actually experience the situation to be able to write the story. And they kept taking me back to the place I'd been as a child, and also simultaneously to the concept that there really is some thing outside of us. And then once I had that blockage of disbelief cleared, then I was able to open up to something truly extraordinary that happened to me, and further changed my life, and that was the beginning of my meditative writings.
Yes, which you talk about your chapter on holistic healing, that you just got this impulse or a directive to just sit down and write. So tell us about how these meditative writings came, because I could imagine, being somewhat skeptical before, it's like, wait, now you're telling me to write? Where is this coming from?
And that left me skeptical in a whole different way because by then my life was completely broken. I had broken marriages. My children were outlaws, 2 children by then. And I didn't trust myself. I didn't believe myself. I didn't love myself. And yet, the meditative writings gradually changed all that, but still to have even listened to an inner voice was a huge leap for me. And so what happened was I was writing an article for a newspaper. I was a columnist for a daily newspaper, and I had this column and was sent to interview a woman named Annie Smart, who was a welfare advocate and just the most beautiful person. I'd spent actually the whole day with her, my youngest daughter and I had, and I just came away in love with her. And so I took a lot of care. I mean, I always did, but I suppose some of the love bled into the story. And I finished writing that story about probably 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And my computer was up in my bedroom, and I lived in this giant Victorian house in Baton Rouge, an old house, wonderful. And I was pacing around and still awake. And it was right before Christmas, so there'd been a lot of activity, and I was very tired. And many years later, I realized that what actually happened was I had awakened my awareness while writing this story. And because it was so late at night, or early in the morning, as it were, I felt the drag of sleep, and so I was in a perfect brainwave state for what happened. And what happened was, as I paced around the room, I just heard this inner voice that said, sit down, pick up pen and paper, and write what you hear. And it was so weird that I did it. And what I heard was this inner voice, this wise and kindly inner voice that gave me the most amazing insights into how I could help my oldest daughter. And believe me, I had tried everything under the sun, advice from social workers, you name it. And in this one paragraph was the solution. And the next night I said, well, why don't I try this again? And then it was a page, and I just kept doing it. And even though I didn't know where the voice was coming from, I thought it must be some dead person on the other side. But then I thought, you know what, that doesn't really work for me, because how do I know that a dead person on the other side knows any more than I do? And so,
right?
My level of distress is incredible. But this inner voice or outer voice, whatever it was, kept giving me this most amazing information. And then it was all about light and biophotons of light and these explanations that everything is composed of light. And at the time, weirdly enough, I didn't connect that with what had happened to me on the interstate. You know, I was back to self-separation and, busy freelance writer, director of a peace and justice group, just chugging, moving really fast, trying to raise these two daughters by myself. So it's not so surprising that I didn't make a lot of connections at the time, but the feeling of this voice, the love of this voice for me, the unconditional love, the transcendent perspectives, there was no either or, it was only and. And it was, after every meditative writing, I felt so good, so connected with myself, and gradually realized that the meditative writings were making predictions, and those predictions were coming true. I still didn't know where it was coming from. But 12 years later, I was completely healed, and well, as completely as anyone can be on this planet, so much more healed and whole than I had been to start with. And I said, you know what? These writings have been predicting all along that I would write a book. Why don't I gather them, a selection of them, into a book, because they're completely universal. They're not specific to me. The writings never said do this or do that or this is the way or it is or that is the way. They only drew universal laws and principles and that anyone could resonate with. And so I did do that. I went to Virginia Beach for a month and took a little apartment, the first time I'd been alone in my entire life since, ever, and pulled the writings together. And then an editor told me, you're going to have to write your story. And I went, oh, no, my story, not this story. But I ended up doing that. And it was only like 100 pages in my first book, which I titled The Voice of the Soul. And as I began to write the story using my diaries and the meditative writings and began to weave the story again together, I realized how incredibly extraordinary everything that had happened to me really was. And yet, how anyone could do it, because goodness knows, I was no one special. No more special than anyone else is, and of course everyone is. And by then, I realized that what had kept me self-separated was my judgment, mm-hmm. was my anger, my unresolved issues, and so many of them had been healed.
Wow.
By that time, and so I was willing to do it.
You mentioned that you weren't special, that anyone could follow these insights or maybe even receive these insights. You call it meditative writing. Were you meditating in order to get into that state? Or were you just, like you said, you were pacing the house and all of a sudden you hear this voice telling you to write? Was meditation tied to it? Or did you just kind of go into a trance and that's why you call it meditative writing?
I just listened. At the time, I didn't even know what meditation was. It was many years later before, when I learned to meditate, that I went, oh, this is what I feel like when I'm doing my meditative writing.
Wow.
Yeah, and that it was a meditation. All I had was the ability to listen, and I had that from being a freelance writer who listened wholeheartedly. And then once I understood brainwave science, I realized that what I was doing was activating my delta brainwaves empathy. And because I had hypervigilance due to a difficult childhood, I had a lot of delta radar, and I also had a lot of intuitive abilities. And so meditation came, the meditative writings came very natural to me. But to anyone else who is able to just sit down and quiet the mind enough to hear a voice that exists within everyone and is quite desperate on the level of the subconscious, which wants to be healed, quite desperate to be heard. And it's just a matter of listening. And that's all really meditation is. It's said that prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening.
Yeah.
And so it came naturally to me, but I have taught it in classes to many other people, and everyone can do it.
And you've also said that, you know, meditation, even though it's going to open you up to these higher states of consciousness and it's stuff we might connect with things beyond ourselves, it doesn't have to be tied to any sort of religion or religious practice.
No. And in fact, through the meditative writings and through what turned out to be, I don't want to say research, but more synchronicities and serendipities as I was writing that first book, I really came to realize that everything in existence, as far as we can perceive it, is composed of light. We perceive it as the electromagnetic wave spectrum of light, where we live in this very thin sliver of visible light, but microwaves, radio waves on one end of the spectrum, and then ultraviolet, cosmic, and gamma rays on the other end of the spectrum. And then through the years, understanding that through quantum physics, that literally everything is composed of light. So my meditative writings, by talking about light, and of course you have the what I thought was empty symbolism in the Old and New Testament, it literally is about light. So there's no religion. I mean, religions have formed themselves out of an awareness of the love and the infinite acceptance in this light. But But that's just religions. Really, it's nothing but a quantum sea of light, and the nature of that light is love, and that's the way I came to perceive it. So, no, I never went back to any religions at all, and people connect with that light through those religions, so I'm no longer angry at those religions. And in fact, my dream is for everyone to find this heartfelt spiritual connection with that light in any form, every form.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about how you did come into the world of EEG neurofeedback and brainwave mapping. What was that connection? Of course, I know the story, but fill the rest of the world in.
Yeah, well, so that's more of that intuitive synchronicity business, where what you really want and need is what the universe, by the laws of attraction and resonance, will bring to you. And so at the end of writing my Voice of the Soul book, I had the first draft. It was almost time to leave. I finished writing it and said, you know what? I don't have any proof of this. Everybody has a story. There's nothing that makes this book special. Why? I'm not publishing it without some kind of scientific proof. And so that moment, I had this flash to go to the ARE Edgar Cayce bookstore, which was just down the road, and find Common Boundary magazine. And I went, huh, that's an interesting idea. But then the idea persisted, and I had had this experience before and said, okay, so there's something in this. And sure enough, went to the ARE bookstore, and they did have a Common Boundary. It's a wonderful magazine. I'd actually written for it before, an international magazine dedicated to art, spirituality, and creativity. And sure enough, I literally walked in the bookstore, which is filled, obviously, with many things, and saw it just jumped out at me, and the title was The Brainwaves of Healing. And so I didn't have time. I was leaving to go back to Baton Rouge, from Virginia Beach to Baton Rouge, and then on to Scotland, where I was going to go to the Fintorn Foundation to a sacred singing workshop. And so I got in my car with my dog and my plants and started driving down. I decided to go through the mountains, and there was this amazing fog, and nobody was on the road. And I could see the road perfectly well, but I was lost in this fog, and it got really eerie. And so I got in this strange state of mind thinking, what's real and what's not real? And suddenly a motel came up, and I pulled in, had dinner, went to the room, and immediately opened this magazine, and within 4 paragraphs just threw it up into the air and went, oh my God, this is the proof of literally everything I've written in the book. Only it was about brainwaves and the frequencies of consciousness as measured on an EEG instrument invented in 1976 called the mind mirror. And you still get the woo-woo, even though things are happening pretty constantly, and they're still amazing and exciting. And so as soon as I got home, I got this woman's book. It was called The High Performance Mind, Mastering the Brainwaves of Creativity, Insight, and Healing, written by a woman named Anna Wise, humanistic psychologist, who had studied how to use the mind mirror and how to awaken awareness with the inventor of the mind mirror named C. Maxwell Cade, a British biophysicist. And it was the same. I underlined everything in the book just over and over. She literally proved through the brainwave evolution of consciousness and meditations and meditation structures to get people there through this language. She proved everything I'd written about how meditation and meditative writing awaken intuition and your dreams awaken and synchronicities begin to come into play and you move into this flow state with reality on a sustained, in a protracted manner. And suddenly I had the proof, and then I went on to Scotland, and through a couple of other experiences I won't burden you with right now, got two other scientific proofs of everything in the book. So then I published the book and went, okay, now I see how the paranormal works. It really is light. Brainwaves are about light and the transmission of thought, which is light from axon to dendrite. And then it was just a roller coaster ride, but straight up after that. My teacher, the same thing happened as was in 2001. I moved up here to Pennsylvania and began to teach meditation and was promoting my book and speaking in Unity churches community colleges and things like that. And I was constantly writing Anna Wise and saying, look, can I extract, because we'd established an email friendship, and she said, you know, you understand this better than most people. Well, it was because I awakened and then found, and so I had the benefit of retrospect. She said, you understand this so well, you need to come study with me, but it was going to be really expensive. And I went, no, I'm letting people into workshops for $20 for 3 hours. That's just not going to happen. $18,000 in expense cost it was going to be to fly across to California and study with her. And so I'd call her and say, can I just copy this one little chart out of your book to use in my class? And I did that for years, you know, and got better known over the years for what I was teaching. And but in 2005, I heard this inner voice that said, it's time to go study with Anna Wise. And I went, no, that's going to be too expensive. And the voice again persisted. And I'd do meditative writings and I'd argue with my inner voice and say, no. And it would say, there are things that you cannot understand and trust in this voice. And it was the first time that it actually moved me in a specific direction in all those years. And so I said, okay, and went to study with her. And that light energy that I'd experienced on the interstate all those years before, it was not the same in terms of waves, flowing waves of bliss. But some of that power, that energy was there from the first moment that I walked into her class, and this cascade of intuitive, I don't know what they were, transmissions or knowing, whatever, said, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to take over this work. And I went, no, I have other things to do. This is not for me. But I kept going back, and it was just like I had always known it. It was so familiar, and I understood it so completely. So ultimately, Anna passed away in 2010. After I certified with her in 2006, I accompanied her. I was thrilled she invited me to assist her at Esalen Institute in her thrice yearly, sometimes four times a year, seminars. Beautiful, beautiful setting. And I would draw the brainwaves and manage the sound. And Anna would read the meditations and lead the class. And one time she was too sick. She had multiple sclerosis. And I stood in for her and got all this experience. And then she invited me to attend a practitioner training with her. But in 2010, while teaching at Esalen, her 60th program over 30 years, I was not there. I was here training a group in my home, and she passed away. And I thought my heart was going to break into a million pieces.
Wow.
It was the first time in my entire life I had felt depression. And goodness knows there was plenty in my life I could have been a bit depressed about in the early years, and never. But when she passed away, I just thought my heart was going to break. And until she started to show up in my meditations. And
oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And was that the first time you like channeled or connected to a specific being?
You know, it was. It absolutely was. I was clear as a bell. Saw myself on a bus heading to New York City, and she was sitting in the front seat of the bus, and she said, this is the way to go. And so I began to do group brainwave trainings and got tons of experience teaching at the Edgar Cayce Center in New York and Manhattan, and then her there had been a memorial service for her, and I could see so clearly what needed to be done. Former husband Jim McRitchie and her son John Wise, I was very good friends with both of them by then, from having spent so much time with Anna getting ready for Esalen and such. And I said, there needs to be an organization that connects all of the Awakened Mind trainers. Somebody needs to record all of her meditations. And I just had this long list, and they said, okay, go with it. And Jim got the email addresses of the Awakened Mind trainers he could find in her papers, and I started the Institute for the Awakened Mind, and that's what I did. Networked all of the consciousness trainers, and just this year recorded all of her unpublished meditations that are now available, along with Max Cade's and three albums of mine, in the meditation center of what we are now calling the Mind Mirror Portal.
Such a gift.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And so basically, and then I wrote another book in 2012, kind of a how-to book called Your Psychic Soul, Embracing Your Sixth Sense, published by the ARE people, the Edgar Cayce people. And it's just been pretty amazing. She showed up in my dreams. She's actually sent, believe it or not, she has sent people to train with me before. She showed up in one woman's dreams, a woman in Quebec who was a medium, and she had been having trouble with electricity, and it was getting terrible. She couldn't tolerate overhead lights and computers and the like. And in her dream, Anna showed up and said, go see Judith Pennington. She'd never heard of me, never heard of Anna, and said, oh, this is the woman who was in my dream and came here. And I taught her how to down-train her gamma, her high-frequency gamma waves, and ground in her subconscious theta. Because by then, as soon as I got the new mind mirror, worked with the new mind mirror, I had access to these high-frequency gamma waves that are associated with higher states of consciousness on the highest level of that electromagnetic wave spectrum, the higher frequencies. And then people have showed up in various ways that Anna's had something to do with. So, you know, I do believe completely in life everlasting, although not in some little hall that you go sit in, but rather gradations of light.
Yeah.
And that all of our loved ones are right here, right with us. We can't see them, but sometimes we can hear them. And sometimes, and many times since then, people have showed up in my meditations.
Yeah, well, I definitely know that I was connected to you in a very magical way. It was pretty amazing. I was at an event, and I kept feeling like, oh, this is not the event for me. The energy wasn't right. But I kind of just surrendered, and I found myself talking to this American who is also with us in Italy. His name is Joel, as you know. And I was just telling him all the stuff that I'm like fascinated by, which is neuroscience and spirituality. And he said, have you ever heard of the Institute for the Awakened Mind? And the entrepreneur in me was like, no, but I love the name of that. That's the perfect, you know, company name. And he said, yes, it was founded by Judith Pennington. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, did you know my last name is Pennington? He was like, no, that's weird. And he started to tell me about the brainwave training and all of that. And it was something about it was like ringing a bell. It was ringing a bell. I immediately said I wanted to meet you. But when I got back to my hotel room, I was looking at my Kindle to just read before bed. And I saw C. Maxwell Cade's book. And I was like, wait a minute. I had just downloaded his book like maybe a week before that trip.
Whoa.
So, I mean, I was already on this path to connect with you. Just like I've got chills again. It's just been amazing, the connection, and especially to see my own brainwaves being hooked up to the mind mirror as I was when I came for the training last year, and now working with other people. Just as we wrap up, I would love it if you kind of just share where we are now and where we're going forward. You mentioned that you're now doing trainings where we, you know, people around the world can learn how to use this mind mirror. where we can look on a computer screen and like objectively see that we ourselves can modify our brainwave patterns and thus our brainwave state, you know, our mental state and even the content of it, which has been fascinating for me on a healing level. Much like what you experienced spontaneously, you're now training people to get into the state where they can do self-directed healing. So what's the future look like?
It's so incredibly exciting. First, I want to say that you have the most beautiful brainwaves and really one of the possibly the most stable awakened mind pattern that I've ever seen. And you also have strong awakened mind flares with the eyes open, which is the apex. This is the thing that we want to see people to bring the meditation state out into everyday reality so that people have that open flow of consciousness where they have access to the clarity of the quiet thinking mind, the sensory awareness of the alpha bridge down to the deep subconscious creativity, insight, and intuition, and the delta, which can be hypervigilant and is in most psychics, but it's the empathy and deep intuition, connection with the inner self, the essential being. And so that is ongoing for us, is to have people come and train, not just with me, but there's a practitioner training in the Netherlands, there's someone in Australia, and there will be more practitioner trainers, and now we're even doing it online, so that's making the work more accessible to people. Videos are on the, or possibilities, it's a probability actually. Someone is starting an Institute for the Awakened Mind Asia Pacific. That's our software developer and newly minted Mind Mirror practitioner, Andrew Tang, who created the Mind Mirror Portal, which is fantastic, does all the data processing automatically and helps people for the first time have their be their own brainwave trainer because they see their brainwave patterns right next to the script of the meditations. And then there are 72 meditations in the Mind Mirror Portal's meditation center. And they're all geared to helping people move into these expanded and higher states of consciousness. And so what's on the plate for us is just to continue to move forward, bringing this work out to more and more people. If they don't have a mind mirror, they can certainly awaken through the meditations. And what a joy it is to have these amazing insights about your life and to be able to listen to those meditations and heal things that you've suffered from, it positions you to do meditative writing, to awaken your dreams and to be the best person you can be. And we just hope to get that out to the world. And thank you for your part in it as well.
Well, I'm just at the beginning and I'm so, so looking forward to expanding it here in Europe and beyond. And as you know, we got kind of delayed with COVID, but having you featured in this new documentary film about resilience, I think is going to be just ace to show people that no matter what's happened to them, like childhood trauma, like illness, burnouts and breakdowns and divorces, we can tune into this innate ability for healing. And that's what I'm so inspired to help people do. Well, Judith, thank you so much for sharing your story in this book, Holistic Healing. Thank you for being such a contributor to my own life and my training with the Mind Mirror. I'm excited to see what happens next. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for all that you are and do, Andrea. You are truly a blessing to the world. Everyone blesses you for it. Thank you.
Thank you. So there you have it, my friends. You have now heard from the master, Judith Pennington, on how you can awaken your mind, you can improve your state of consciousness and your healing. So check out her story in our book, Holistic Healing. Be sure to visit her online for the free meditations at mindmirrorportal.com/meditations. Until we meet again, my friend, please do remember that you are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. Much love. Thank you for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.